This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Between 2010 and 2019, U.S. power companies announced the retirement of more than 546 coal-fired power plants. That's according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Here in Illinois, a dozen power plants have closed in that time. And environmentalists worry that lax regulations, or maybe no regulations would be a better way to say it, when it comes to dismantling these coal plants, they worry that could put nearby communities at risk. Eric Schmidt has been following these closures. He's a Metro East reporter for St. Louis Public Radio and has been reporting on the demolition of the Wood River Power Station in East Alton, Illinois. Eric, welcome to The 21st.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I'd also like to welcome Toni Opel. She lives in Edwardsville, Illinois, and is chair of the Metro East Green Alliance. She lives downstream from where the plant is located, and her organization has made efforts to meet with the company demolishing the Wood River plant about their concerns. Toni, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
I'd also like to welcome Edith Tovar, an organizer with the Little Village Environmental Justice Group. That's in Chicago, but they had the Crawford Power Plant that was demolished there, and it sent a cloud of hazardous smoke into the neighborhood last April. Edith, welcome to The 21st.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, are you living near a coal plant? I know people in Springfield do. There's one in Champaign. They're all over Illinois. Maybe there's one in your community that's either active or out of commission. You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Eric, I'm going to begin with you. What are the regulations in Illinois when it comes to dismantling a coal power plant?
Well, there aren't necessarily specific regulations for coal power plants. There are regulations for any kind of building that you want to bring down, and that's going to touch on remediation for things like asbestos, which we know is a, you know, something that causes cancer among people. But for coal plants specifically, there isn't anything additional that a company has to do to certify or to meet any kind of like extra requirements to handle a site or building or, you know, things that have been contaminated from years of burning coal.
Edith, what these coal-fired power plants are often located near communities that are lower income or maybe on the side of town that's lower income. Can you tell us a little bit about the effects of the demolition of the Crawford Power Plant back in April on the Little Village neighborhood in Chicago?
Yeah, so one of the most major impacts, sorry about that, that we had in the Little Village community was actually lack of notification from the redeveloper, Hilco Redevelopment Partners. There was only a 48-hour notice notifying folks that the smokestack was coming down, given also that Chicago was probably a week into shelter in place. So we had thousands of folks at their homes when the smokestack came down. And the company said that they were taking all the precautions, all the necessary precautions to make sure that nothing wrong would happen, but didn't really take into consideration a cloud of toxic dust flowing about 10 blocks into our community.
And Toni, what are some of the concerns of people in your area with the Wood River plant in East Alton?
Well, the Wood River plant has pretty much been demolished at this point, and only those stacks that Edith referred to in her remain to be imploded. We're actually quite worried that what happened at the Crawford site will happen here. And then beyond that, will happen in other places unless there is some sort of transparency about companies taking over these properties and turning them to other industry by taking them down and then remediating them. And beyond that, we'd like to see community engagement. I think Edith will say that, you know, over the years, her community, just like the community of East Alton, while there were jobs with coal plants, there was also hazard. And we would like a voice in what happens to the future of our communities when those coal plants leave.
Eric, for your story, you spoke with a chemist from Colorado State University about some of the chemicals that can be found in these coal plants after they're out of commission. What did they say about, you know, what people can expect in there and what the health effects might be from that?
Yeah. So when you burn coal, we want to shut down coal plants. So what she told me was that we want to shut down coal plants because they are big emitters of things like heavy metals, arsenic, lead, mercury, and that goes into the air. And when you burn coal, those same particulates, those same particles are going to get caught in the buildings of coal plants. They're going to be caught in the smokestacks. So those heavy metals are there. And when you knock down a plant, a building, a smokestack, there's the risk of those same particles being released into the air. And we know that heavy metals they cause cancer. We know that living next to a coal plant that has been operating, we know that those communities have had higher rates of different forms of medical ailments, cancers, respiratory effects. So the danger here is that when you knock something like this over, these heavy metals they like to stick to dust. And then when the dust goes up and it spreads out, that these heavy metals will also go where that dust goes. And I will say that what she also told me was that dust doesn't necessarily stay in the atmosphere forever. If it goes up, it is going to come back down. It is going to settle. And it's not something that is going to be a very, very long, a long-term exposure as if, you know, a plant were operating for a long time. But it is still something to be aware of when these buildings or different kinds of infrastructure are knocked down, that this can go up and it can go over a community for a bit of time and then come down onto it.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce you all. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. That's Eric Schmidt, a Metro East reporter with St. Louis Public Radio. He's been reporting on what happens to coal-fired power plants after they close in Illinois. We're also joined by two community environmental activists who want to see more regulations when it comes to these demolitions. Tony Opelt is from Edwardsville, and Edith Tovar is an organizer with the Little Village Environmental Justice Group. And Edith, you mentioned that you would have liked to have seen water tanks on site to help settle the dust, I gather, from the plant that was demolished in Chicago. How would that have worked?
Well, within the 48 hours notice that the company gave to not only our organization, but to also local residents, they shared their plan with us. One in which included the Chicago Fire Department. They were going to use water cannons to try to minimize the spread of the dust. There was luckily a resident, a neighbor who happened to have a drone, and when the implosion happened and the smokestack hit the ground, you can automatically see that there were no water cannons on site. The Chicago Fire Department wasn't using it to try to minimize the dust. We believe that even if the water cannons were involved, right, air isn't stagnant, air will travel. The smokestack was relatively big, and so obviously we were expecting this type of impact. What we weren't expecting was the city of Chicago not being prepared to respond to this, what we call, environmental disaster. You had thousands of folks in their home, you know, were trying to survive a respiratory pandemic, yet you had the city of Chicago allowing this developer to continue their business as usual, literally endangering our lives.
Yeah, and we often talk about coal-fired power plants in the context of global warming and the carbon they emit, but obviously the breathing problems that can result from some of that pollution is a much more acute and just as deadly phenomena. Edith, you mentioned the city. They did find Hilco Redevelopment Partners, the company that was contracted to demolish the plant. What else would you like to see happen?
Yeah, so they did fine Hilco $68,000 on behalf of the city, and then the attorney general also fined Hilco as well as their contractors a total about $380,000. This is actually chump change to a multinational billion-dollar corporation. They're in the business of, you know, flipping industrial sites. Our main goal, right, was for Hilco to vacate the Crawford site. When we found out as a community that Hilco purchased the former Crawford coal plant, right, we were already in developing what residents wanted to see and envision, right? We wanted to have a community resource center where folks can have access to various opportunities. Exchange 55, which is the logistics site that Hilco is trying to build, is not really going to help our community, right? It's not going to really benefit our well-being in our community. And so what we initially wanted was for Hilco to vacate the Little Village community. And that goal still remains. We want to be able to have a say in a space that cost so many, public health lives, right? It endangered our public health. The Crawford coal plant operated for 80 plus years. We had many residents, unfortunately, visit the emergency room because of respiratory issues. We lost many neighbors, because of, premature deaths. And so we had every right to want to develop this site to meet the needs that our residents have in Little Village. And 1 million square foot logistics facility that will bring in 400 to 600 diesel trucks a day is not what we envisioned.
Tony, you made an effort to meet with the company that was demolishing the Wood River plant in East Alton. I should note, we also at the 21st reached out to the company to join the conversation. They did not respond. What information were you hoping to get from them?
Well, the Wood River Power Station shuttered in 2016 and remained basically silent and empty until the fall of 2019, when Commercial Liability Partners purchased that property with the same intent to take it down, remediate it, and flip it to some other industry. What we were after was a conversation. We wanted to meet with them, talk with them about what the possibilities were. We did want transparency. We wanted to know that if they took this property down and rebuilt it, that that process would be safe. But as you just pointed out with your own experience, we were met with silence. No one ever really reached out. They gave us one curt email after multiple tries that simply said, "We're doing everything we're supposed to do." And that was the end of the conversation.
And what would you like to see happen with the plant site?
I think that this community, just like the community of Little Village, has spent years under a smokescreen of health problems and needs to have revitalization. We need to build community wealth, not corporate wealth necessarily, and find jobs for people. So we'd like to see this property turned into something that will benefit the community. We've learned that it will not be used for renewable energy, even though that site would actually accommodate a large solar field. So we were just after a conversation. We wanted to find some hope for people who had been hurt once. We wanted someone to come in and say, "You can't hurt them again." But we haven't found that yet.
Eric, last question to you, and just less than 30 seconds left, so a few sentences maybe. How many more power plants in Illinois are slated to close? Is this a story we're going to see repeating itself potentially across the state?
Potentially, yes, if there aren't any specific rules for moving forward. There are, half of the state's remaining 23 plants have already closed. And I think five more of Vistra Energy plants in Southern Illinois are set to come offline this decade. And then the other six, that either their units are closing or there's just no official end date. So by the end of this decade, we'll have the majority of the plants will be offline in Illinois, just kind of standing around waiting for what happens next.
All right. Eric Schmid is a Metro East reporter at St. Louis Public Radio. We've also been speaking with Tony Opelt, who's a Madison County resident active in trying to steer the demolition of the power station at Wood River near Alton. And Edith Tovar is an organizer with the Little Village Environmental Justice Group. I want to thank my guests for being with us today here on the 21st. And that is all the time we have for our program today, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.